You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Taking a walk.
You know, now that I've been writing songs for a long time and lucky to get to do it all the time, I think it's more of a craft than people maybe would think. You know, it's definitely an art form, but to actually write a song is kind of like building a house. You know, you got to know how to swing a hammer and how to square corners and how to, you know, follow plans and things like that.
You've arrived at the Taking a Walk podcast, an audio diary of music storytelling. Today, your host, Buzz Knight, talks with record label's country singer-songwriter, Matt Stell. Rolling Stone named his song Prayed For You in 2019 one of the 10 best country songs to hear now. He's releasing new music, and he talks about his songwriting process and much more on Taking a Walk.
Well, Matt Stell, welcome to the Taking a Walk virtual podcast.
Man, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So tell me what's going on these days. I know you're back in Nashville after doing some road warrior work, right?
Yeah, man, we stay on the road quite a bit. We'll leave out again tomorrow, but like we were talking just a minute ago, I got to get home, sleep in my own bed, start a load of laundry, so we're in good shape.
The fun stuff, right?
That's right, that's right.
Well, take me back. When was the first moment in your life that you knew that you were going to be connected with music?
You know, I always loved music. I guess assumed everybody loved music the way I did. But I guess in college, I found out that I just really had a passion for it. You know, that's where I kind of picked up a guitar and sat in front of a computer like this and learned how to play. And that turned into, you know, buddies coming over and then, you know, frat houses and shows and stuff like that. And, I kind of fell into it that way. But I guess I knew music was always going to be a part of what I did, but I didn't know that I was going to get to, you know, make my life about it, you know, build my life around it.
Was anybody in your family associated with music or musicians?
Yeah, I have a pretty musical family, especially on my mom's side. I actually had a couple cousins that had record deals and put out music and did that. And I was always, you know, the athlete. I was the ball player, and I wasn't playing music at the time. And then, you know, I sort of stumbled on it in college. It was this, different thing. And I felt like I had this big learning curve that I had to catch up with everybody. That was probably good, you know, because it showed me how good is, and because they were really, really talented people. I learned a lot from them, both musically and then, you know, kind of on the business side of stuff too.
Who were some of the mentors that really made a difference for you?
Oh, the mentors that really made a difference for me, you know, there's a lot going forward. I know that, you know, my cousin Hannah, she was really gracious and including me in some rights early on. And Autumn McIntyre, songwriter here in town, really went out on a limb for me and helped me get my first pub deal when I finally did. And I've had people along the way. I've had, you know, it takes so many people in so many different ways to do this kind of stuff. Ash Bowers early on, he gave me an opportunity early on, and so I gotta thank him for that. A lot of writers too that I just kind of would write with me, and I'd learn from them. That there's some great folks there as well. Scooter Caruso, you know, he's one that I've written with a lot and learned a lot from. And so yeah, man, I mean, the list is long, you know, especially from the radio side. You know, there's a lot of people from the label side and stuff like that, but it takes a lot of people. And I try to keep my eyes and ears open and ready to learn something as much as I can.
You have a multifaceted sort of background in terms of your schooling and some of the other aspirations that you were associated with. So I want to click through a couple of them. I mean, you played college basketball, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I did. I played. That's actually where I started playing guitar, because you're on campus all winter break. If you're playing PlayStation with your teammates, or you're, that's a play at practice, you know, that's about it, or traveling to play ball, you know, that's about it. So that's where I picked up a guitar, but basketball was my first love, was my first dream, and that one kind of turned into this one that I have now.
As somebody who studied communications myself, I was fascinated that you also studied communications. What aspirations around communications did you have?
Well, you know, I was really more interested in kind of rhetorical studies, American studies, kind of social critique, that kind of thing. I always was interested in dealing with, kind of big and new and interesting ideas. My communication degree wasn't focused in like organization or mass communication or broadcast or anything like that. It was much more of an outcropping of like social critique and things like that. Like, I was just always interested in people's ideas of how things worked, and I had my own ideas, and that's kind of my communication in a nutshell. I could really just, you know, I could really call it like rhetoric or argumentation, you know, that that's what I was interested in.
And then the medical side of your aspirations. You were involved with the medical mission to Haiti, and you studied pre-med. Tell me about that.
Well, so I didn't study pre-med. I thought I was going to maybe. I thought I was going to do it. So I went on that medical missions trip, worked alongside some doctors, and was just really blown away by how they could just improve people's lives by just, you know, helping, you know, directly could help people, you know, that really needed it the most. And I was like, man, that's pretty special. And so I applied to this pre-medical program, because I had a lot of, you know, I've been to a lot of school, but I still needed some hard sciences. You know, I needed my physics and chemistry and what have you to be able to apply to some of these med schools. And I got accepted into a program for that, but because I was in Nashville trying to get a publishing deal so I could write songs, and that hadn't happened. So I got accepted into that program. I was going to pull up stakes and move to the Northeast and just really take a fork in the road. And I got the opportunity to write songs about 2 months before I was moving. So luckily I didn't have to fail. I didn't have to flunk out of pre-med before not having to do it, because it would have been pretty tough. But I did think that would be, I don't know, I was just very, very wowed by the way that the medicine can help people like right now. So
I'm going to come back to music and medicine a little bit later on. So what was this band, the Crashers, all about?
Man, that was my first band, dude. You know, I was playing acoustic in bars and had a buddy that he and I started playing together, and then we put a band together. And that was our first shot at it. I was really, a lot of those guys lived in Missouri, and I did too while I was in college. And then I moved back home around Little Rock, but we would still tour around, play every show that we could, everywhere that we could. And that was my first experience with it, and learned a lot, learned what to do, what not to do, it was a special time for sure.
You still have some recordings of the Crashers?
There's probably some out there somewhere. Yeah, I have recordings of the songs we were playing. I guess I probably recorded them with other musicians, but we tried to make a record together one time. It didn't go great, and then I ended up coming to Nashville and cutting a record with some studio guys, and we toured on that, and it was like, because you can make music, because technology had kind of democratized music where you can make it, anybody can record a record. I have a bunch of stuff from when I was learning how to make music and how to write music, and some of it's all right, and then some of it's like a little cringy, but at the end of the day, that's that learning process, you kind of grow up through trial and error, and there's plenty of error, that's for sure.
I'd like to talk about your songwriting process, how you learn that process, also what you like about it and what you don't like about the songwriting process.
Yeah, well, I mean, my process starts with just having my antenna up and coming up with song titles anywhere that I can. I just jot them down on my phone, whether one song makes me think of a different angle on something totally different. If I read something, if I watch something, if I hear something, it's in a conversation, whatever. I'm always jotting that down in my phone, that's where it starts. And then generally, sometimes I'll write them by myself. Sometimes I'll get in a room with, a couple people and we'll toss ideas around, come up with something and go from there. But I think now that I've done it, now that I've been writing songs for a long time and lucky to get to do it all the time, it's kind of like writing songs is a little bit like, I think it's more of a craft than people maybe would think. It's definitely an art form, but to actually write a song is kind of like building a house. You got to know how to, swing a hammer and how to square corners and how to, follow plans and things like that. But the songwriting part is very much that. It's very much knowing how to build a house. And then the creative part of it is, the title or the idea is like the plans of the house. It's like the blueprint kind of thing. So, that's something that I've learned. That's how I think about it. And, I try to not have any rules, but that's generally how it comes out for me. It usually starts with a lyric and goes from there. Sometimes a melody, sometimes not, in terms of starting it, but that's generally my process.
Well, since this podcast is called Taking a Walk, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. So if you're in the middle of that songwriting process, whether on your own or with others, and you get stalled at any point in time, do you go take a walk?
I mean, sometimes we do. I mean, I like to just like literally walk. Sometimes I just get up and be pacing around the room. And there's something about that I don't know. It kind of shifts gears a little bit than, kind of sitting. So yeah, definitely. I mean, we'll do that. Or sometimes we'll go eat lunch, or sometimes we'll just come back to it, later. And a lot of songs, and now I'm not bashful about it. Like a lot of times I get a song done or a demo done, I'll listen to it, and that'll kind of be a little bit of a rough draft, and I'll do some changing to it too. So I definitely live with it, and literally taking a walk in the room sometimes helps, yeah.
And then also, it must be fitting at times to have some recordings from demos and pop it in while you're in the car driving, right? I mean, that must be also helpful.
Absolutely. I do it all the time. That's kind of what the demos are for. It's kind of to live with them, and then something to share with people. When they get to the right spot. Now there's like a work tape will be what we kind of do in the room, even if it's pretty produced because of how people can use the computer. build, make music in, inside the box, so to speak. So we'll have that work tape, and then we'll work on it, then we'll get a demo, and then the demo we'll send out, and then if we decide to cut it, you know, we'll track that and get a master out of it. So yeah, definitely a lot of hours in the car passed by listening to demos for sure.
Do you ever reach a point where you go, man, that's a stinker, I can't do anything with that, and you just move on from it?
You know, I'm lucky to get to write with a bunch of really talented people. So, you know, we can typically always build the house, you know, but it's like, is it a house you'd want to live in? You know what I'm talking about? So, yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, I write a lot of songs that get written and then that's it. And you know, sometimes that's, sometimes it's the idea in the first place wasn't, you know, so I guess say worth writing or didn't produce something cool. We just didn't do a great job with the idea that day. So yeah, all the time, man. I mean, you win some, you lose some for sure.
What's your memory of hearing for the first time one of your songs on the radio?
Well, I remember maybe not the first time I heard it, you know, because you kind of, sometimes you hear it in small town, in small town, you know, America, you'll hear, you know, the song get played on the radio station in town. But I like the first time I ever encountered my song sort of in the wild, I was in Vegas and I was in an Uber and the lady had the radio on and my song came on and I was like, man, well, this is going to sound weird, but that's me right there on the radio. And I don't know that she believed me, but I do remember that I was in an Uber in Vegas.
What song was it?
It was Prayed for You. It was. Yeah, yeah.
Do you still, like, have goosebumps about that moment?
Man, it's pretty special, you know. It's tough to kind of put everything in perspective because at the time, you know, it kind of happens and it can just sort of wash over you a little bit. But definitely it is, you know, I think back on those moments and how special that is, how special that was. And, you know, the fact that, you know, people want to hear, you know, music, you know, my music at all, you know, is the reason I want to start doing it. So, it does give you that kind of goosebump moment. Yeah.
How great is it having someone like, Barry Weiss, who's at the helm of records, you know, as part of guiding your career?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's great to have somebody believe in you and sign you to a record deal. And then you have some success together. That's pretty special. You know, that's what you want to happen when you move to town. So, you know, very grateful for that opportunity and excited to get some new music out with them, here actually pretty soon here. What is today? Tonight comes out tonight. Breaking a Boost. The next single's out tonight. So should be a fun ride again, hopefully.
And, what other stuff are you working on, after that single?
Man, I'm constantly writing. I've got another five tracks cut. I'm going to go back in the studio here in November and finish out a project, and I can't wait to get that released out into the world. Because I think it, I'm really proud of it. I'm proud of the songs I've written for it. It's the most personal stuff that I've done. You know, there was a time when I had people, when I had people that thought they knew what was best for me, that I probably listened to too much. I tried to steer what I do and tell me who I am and what I should do. You know, you make those kind of mistakes, and those are tough mistakes to make. But I learned the lesson that I'm going to let what I think is worth cutting be the funnel, and then everybody else can have their opinions, and not the other way around. You know, I still want opinions from folks, but it has to, you know, at the end of the day. The reason I love music is because, you know, that kid that's sitting on the end of his dorm room, the bed in his dorm, learning how to play on the computer, like the feeling that my favorite songs gave me is what I'm chasing. And if I don't get that feeling, then that's I'm in that feeling. That's the kind of business I'm in. And anything short of that, I'm not going to do.
What's some of the music from other folks that you're listening to these days?
Oh man, you know, I listened to that new Zach Bryan record. I like it probably the best of anything that he's put out. I've listened to Jason Isbell's The Weather Vanes record. It's really grown on me. I mean, I liked it in the first place, but I find myself going back to it. It's anytime, whenever he puts out stuff, it's definitely worth a listen. I'm trying to think of some. There's been some great country records that have dropped, and some great songs. And I'd have to look on my phone right now of all that stuff. But I listen to quite a bit of music and all genres too. You know, I love country music, but I love all kinds of stuff. So I'm constantly looking for what's new and fresh.
What would surprise your fans that you listen to that maybe they wouldn't think you would?
Oh man, that's a good question. I mean, on the way, I was driving in Colorado yesterday, and we were listening to Guy Clark, and we were listening to J.P. Sachs on the same, and Jerry Jeff Walker all in the same playlist. And so, I think that James McMurtry, he's one of my all-time favorites too. So, you know, like those kind of those writers like that. I don't know if that surprised folks all that much. I mean, I thought that last Taylor Swift record, Midnights, was fantastic. I love that. I love Noah Kahan stuff is cool, man. It's fun to see that kind of organic thing popping his head out, and so I could go on and on, man. I'm a fan of all kinds of stuff.
That's a good window inside the depth of your music with some of the stuff that you mentioned.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think, you know, especially in this day and age, you know, we all kind of grew up with music at our fingertips, and so. Because you can literally have every song in the world with a press of a button. You know, that generally means that your genres or, you know, people may have a favorite genre, but they'll venture outside of that for sure.
What would you tell someone listening to this that's a aspiring musician that would be advice to keep them on the long road?
Well, I would say that, write songs. If you love to write songs. You know, you never know what's going to happen, but when it does happen, you know, you have to learn how to build that house, like I was talking about before. You got to learn the craft. And even if you reinvent the craft, you know, it's like you still have to know how it's done to make choices, know how things are done to make choices to do them differently. So I would say write as much as you can. I think, you know, from a pragmatic standpoint, I think if you have dreams of playing music for a living, if you have dreams of writing music for a living, that you're going to need to keep your overhead low. You know, not make it where you don't live very expensive, so you don't have to, have side hustles that take over and become your main hustle and turn music into your side hustle. That's another like thing. I think, there were times in my life where I didn't, you know, no one knows what's going to happen. And I got extremely lucky, you know, getting a record deal and all that stuff. But, you want to be ready for when that stuff happens. And, you want to get around other creative people as well. Like if you get you around, that's what the best part about Nashville is that it's, there's no place that has this, concentration of musical talent, you know, per capita, whether that's players, whether that's writers, especially writers. And so I would say get around as many of those people as you can, because you're going to learn from each other. And I should have moved to Nashville sooner. And I would have gotten, I would have benefited from it, because being around other creative people, you're constantly propelling each other to get better and to do the next cool thing. So those may be a couple things, but what do I know?
You know a lot. In Nashville, there's some pretty incredible venues must be unbelievably energizing to play at. What are some of your favorite experiences from playing at some of those legendary places?
Well, I mean, playing the Opry is probably my best memory of one of my favorite memories, I should say. I'm from a town of 300 people, and when I played the Opry, I mean, most of the town, people that hadn't left Conway County, people that hadn't left Arkansas, and who knows how long, made the trip to Nashville to see me play on the Opry. And my, you know, family from Texas and Florida, Carolinas, all over came. And that was really special. And man, it's just that is the one of the memories that sticks out to me the most. And I had my mama and my grandmama's backstage, and that was so fun. And man, it was really, really cool.
Well, I want to close with this, come back to your medicine aspirations. We produce this other podcast, and it's called Music Save Me, and it's about the power of music as a healing force and what it means to folks. Do you think that music has healing therapeutic powers?
Well, I mean, you know, just coming from a from my perspective, I would definitely say that yes, in a sense, you know, like music, I think music enriches life as much as it heals anything. You know what I mean? It can definitely get your mind in the right place, in all those different ways. But, so I think it definitely has a role in that way.
Well, I wish you well on, all the future. And congratulations on all your successes, Matt Stell. It's awesome to have you on Taking a Walk. I so appreciate it.
Absolutely, Buzz. I appreciate you having me, and hope we run into each other soon.
I hope so.
We hope you enjoyed country music artist Matt Stell on Taking a Walk. If you like this and other episodes, leave us a review and share it with everyone. Find Taking a Walk on the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.